13 people have been killed in Barcelona and more than 100 injured after a van was driven into the crowds at one of the city's most popular tourist sites.
At least 77 people have been killed in southern France when a truck ploughed deliberately, it seems, into a crowd watching Bastille Day fireworks.
In Nice, Berlin, London, and most recently Barcelona, vehicle terrorist attacks driving a car, truck, or van into crowded places has become a phenomenon throughout the world. The tactic has even extended to deranged perpetrators with no links to terrorist organizations. In January of this year, Demetrios Gagasoulis drove his Holden Commodore into Bourke Street Mall in Melbourne, killing 6 people, including a 3-month-old baby. These attacks cause such distress because they are as devastating as they are mundane. Waging a vehicle attack requires little planning or preparation and has the ability to cause a great many deaths. Last month, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull announced Australia's first national security strategy to prevent terrorist attacks.
Just walked through the Pitt Street Mall, as Commissioner Fuller was pointing out. You can see there the bollards at each end of that mall make it safe from vehicle attack. So all of the people in that mall, that large open space, are perfectly safe from vehicle attack.
The 24-page plan is titled Australia's Strategy for Protecting Crowded Places from Terrorism. The plan states that Australia's national terrorism threat level is probable and that ASIO has advised the government that this includes public places where large crowds gather. Professor Thomas Fisher is the director of the Minnesota Design Centre and Dayton Hudson Chair in Urban Design, who last year wrote an article advocating for souks over current city models. A souk is a traditional North African term for a marketplace or commercial quarter, but Professor Fisher borrows the term to describe an urban network that is decentralised and which in turn provides improved security and greater emphasis on mobility.
We tend to centralize out of an idea of efficiency systems that we all depend on, and then it becomes relatively easy to bring down large segments of a city or to affect large numbers of people by sort of strategic surgical attacks on those points of vulnerability.
Professor Fisher says that as technologies like autonomous vehicles are introduced into our road networks, the likelihood of a vehicle terrorist attack will be greatly diminished.
It's one thing that autonomous vehicles are going to make impossible our terrorist attack using vehicles, because these vehicles actually will not run people over. They stop. Some of these technologies, like autonomous vehicles, will eventually take away some of the tools that the terrorists are using.
Professor Fisher warns against heavy reliance on bollards or preventative structures like those outlined in the Turnbull government's strategy.
In Washington, D.C., it's interesting. They've been putting bollards up in every building that has federal office workers, which is sort of like hanging out a sign saying there are federal office workers in this building. You know, it's kind of like it announces, it almost sort of incites people to want to overcome and attack a building.
However, Professor Fisher does offer an alternative to counterterrorism strategies based on physical structures like bollards. He says that the sharing economy can distribute people in ways that was not possible previously and that might prevent us from future danger.
Develop policies that are not based on fear, but are based on opportunity. And because I think we're moving into a century of basically distributed networks. And the more we can get policies out of the way and allow the distributed nature of the economy and of technology and of the way in which I think people increasingly want to live and work, it will have the outcome of actually making us more resilient and better prepared to resist terrorist attacks. So it's sort of like not letting terrorism drive policy, but letting policy enable people to pursue the opportunities that are ahead of us.
Associate Professor Douglas Tompkin from the Designing Out Crime Centre at the University of Technology, Sydney, is part of a design team looking for innovative ways to prevent vehicle attacks in the future.
If you have too much in the way of ugly-looking fences and bollards and cameras and stuff, people can get a bit nervous. So the idea is to provide barriers in the form of perhaps sculpture or plant boxes or water features, trees, all sorts of different things that you can use that are going to discourage vehicles and yet help the environment, you know, make the place look better.
Designing Out Crime is conscious that any new counter-terrorism ideas must fulfil the core tenets of design. They should be both functional and aesthetically pleasing.
So the alternative is that you plan these environments in ways where you can make them really attractive and useful. You can have public seating and so on that's really reinforced and acts like a bollard, but, you know, does another job. There are many different techniques that you can provide. There also, you can have these water features, so you've got like a ditch that if a car comes straight through, it'll hit this sort of ditch, but people can get across okay.
Dr. Pernilla Christensen is a senior lecturer at the School of the Built Environment at UTS. She is currently undertaking an international research project looking at the role the built environment plays in protecting crowded places.
It really comes down to thinking about protective security up front, all the way from site selection. So thinking about how we do site selection, how we orient the buildings. Some sites just aren't really conducive to protecting people because of their location or their orientation and access issues. And when that's the case, we need to think about the types of uses we're putting on those types of sites. So I'd say that really thinking about protective security early and not just as a, oops, we've designed the building on the site and now we've got to figure out how to protect the exterior, let's just put on some bollards. That in and of itself might not be the solution. That's not saying the bollard isn't the solution, but just that maybe if we think about design in a different way, that there's also other alternatives.
Dr. Christensen is advocating for a precinct approach, rather than installing temporary structures like bollards or concrete blocks.
I think if we start thinking about this as a precinct approach and looking at how we move people through space, how we move cars through space, how we create that urban environment on a broader level, there are going to be other design solutions that we can use so that we don't just become a city of bollards.
Design is by no means a silver bullet when it comes to counterterrorism. But if we can start to design cities and our built environment with protection in mind, we may be able to safeguard ourselves against future attacks.
The reality is, as we've seen in Europe in recent months, you can't eliminate all of the attacks because some of them just fly under the radar. They're sort of independent characters, right? And from that standpoint, you can't foresee that. I think this idea that anything can prevent in a definitive way all attacks, frankly, is a bit naive.
This is Jordan Fermanis for The Daily on 2SER Radio.